Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2 ended with a statement about proving or testing, as the ESV puts it, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God can be confusing to Christians. It's difficult for us to understand the will of God, not just sometimes, but many times. For example, in Ephesians 6:6, it says that we are to be, quote, doing the will of God from the heart, end quote. Well, the presumption here is that we can know what God's will is. The Apostle Paul gave his testimony, his own personal testimony, that when he gave that testimony when he wrote 1 Corinthians 1:1, and he said that he was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And evidently, Paul was able to know what God's will was in regard to his calling. But then there are situations where, try as we may, we cannot know with certainty what the will of God is. This appears to be the situation Jesus was in when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed to the Father, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And it seems that at this point in Jesus' humanity, there was enough uncertainty in his knowledge of the Father's will that he wondered whether there might be another possibility that to make atonement that did not involve the cross. And even concerning Jesus' second coming, he said in Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Now consider the confusion Christians experience when disaster strikes. The wildfires in California this year have already burned over 1 million acres of forest. Complete cities have been burned to the ground. Human lives have been lost. Was that the will of God? In August, Hurricane Ida killed 82 people. Was that the will of God? Last month, a man was paroled from prison and released into the Sacramento area. He broke into a 61-year-old woman's home in Land Park. He assaulted her and then he killed her. Was that God's will? Understandably, there's a lot of confusion concerning God's will. The two verses that serve as our reading of the law this morning go a long way to help us make sense of these kind of situations where we're trying to know what the will of God is. Because these two verses present to us or introduce to us three different ways of understanding God's will. Let's start with Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." That's a helpful clue right there at the end. Notice the important distinction that this verse is making between what is secret and what is revealed. What's revealed belongs to us and we must do it, this verse is telling us. But what's secret belongs to God and we cannot know it. And so we call this the secret will of God and the revealed will of God. Two different aspects of God's will, both biblical, both realities that we must contend with. And understanding the revealed will of God is the easy part. We need only go to the scriptures where he has revealed to us what his will is, and he tells us explicitly what we are to know and think and do. He wills that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's the will of the Lord. Not too difficult to discern because it's revealed to us. He wills that we love one another as Christ loved us. He wills that we forgive as we have been forgiven. He wills that we do not steal. He wills that we do not murder. He wills that everything we do to His glory. But the secret will of God is not revealed to us in this same way. He hasn't told us when Jesus is coming back. That's part of His secret will. God definitely has set a date for Jesus' return. It's not as if He hasn't decided that yet. It's just that God has not revealed this to us. There are a lot of things that God does not reveal to us. He does not tell us when we're going to die. He doesn't tell us when the next earthquake will hit. He doesn't tell us why some people live a lifetime filled with painful suffering, while other people seem to have all the blessings of the world just handed to them on a silver platter. So when trying to understand the will of God, Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us of His secret will and of His revealed will. Both are parts of God's will that we must be able to understand and deal with. And then there is His discerned will, which is spoken of in Romans 12:2. The discerned will is neither the secret will nor the revealed will. It's something in between those two. All of us wrestle with life-changing questions. What college should I attend? Where should I live? Who should I marry? How many children should we have? What career should I pursue? And when addressing these kinds of questions, there isn't always a Bible verse that explicitly reveals what God's will is in these matters. But on the other hand, the will of God in these things is not unknowable. It's not secret. He has not hidden the answers from us. What Romans 12:2 is telling us is that the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God can be discerned. And notice that we discern the will of God by proving it, or testing it is a word we're more familiar with. This testing includes analyzing our experiences. It involves knowing what our abilities and giftings are that God has given to us. It involves noticing where God providentially opens and closes doors in our lives. It involves the righteous desires that He has placed within our hearts. It requires us to rule out the things that God has forbidden in His revealed will and rule in the things that He commands in His revealed will, and so that we may discern what the Lord's will is in those matters of that are neither His revealed will nor secret will. You can discern which college to attend. You can discern where to live and who to marry and how many children to have and so on and so on. And we need to distinguish between these three aspects of God's will because we're called to respond to each of them with a different type of obedience. When it comes to God's secret will, we must be content not to know. We must not pry into His secret will. Nor should we despise His secret will or become insulted or angered by the fact that He chose to keep it a secret. If God determined not to reveal something to us, if He determined not to answer those probing questions you have about your life, why this God, why that God, if that's part of His secret will, then we must be content with not knowing. Our response of obedience is to say, okay, Lord, I'll just continue to trust that You're gracious and merciful and righteous and that Your love informs every plan that You make for me. And when it comes to God's revealed will, our response of obedience is to receive it and to accept it without challenging it. If the scriptures say that it's God's will for you to do ABC, then you do ABC. And if the scriptures say that God's will is for you not to do XYZ, then you must not do XYZ. That's God's simple and plain response of obedience that He requires of us pertaining to His revealed will. And when it comes to God's discerned will, we must test each situation with sanctified wisdom and hold fast to that which is good. So in summary, we must always test what God has called us to discern. We must never test what God has revealed. And we cannot test what God has kept secret. And the secret things, we must walk by faith and not by sight. And where the Holy Spirit has borne witness to you of your own personal sin this morning, remember that God pardons and forgives all who truly repent while trusting in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And repentance includes confession. And so we confess our sins to God. We joyfully confess our sins to God, knowing that in Christ Jesus we have forgiveness of our sins. And so let us do that at this time. Let us spend a short period in silent confession. During this time, I encourage you to pray to the Lord, to confess to Him the things that He has burdened your heart with, the things that you know where you have transgressed, particularly, but not exclusively, in the area of His will, where you have attempted to pry into a secret will, you've been dissatisfied with the fact that He has kept secret the things that you want to know. Confess that to the Lord. Where His revealed will has been explicitly clear to you, and you have neglected it or violated it, then confess that to the Lord. And where His discerned will has been made available to you, and out of negligence or laziness, you have not gone through the process of rightly testing the things that God has set before you, then confess that to the Lord as well. And after an appropriate time of silence, I'll lead us in corporate confession of prayer. Let's pray.